You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt. I'm your host. I'm Andrew Brandt. I have a son, Sam Brandt, who did the music that you hear below us. We're produced by Jack Connell, and we are always presented by DraftKings. Speaking of DraftKings, speaking of wagering, that's going to be a hot topic today. We're going to veer off the NFL. Believe it or not, we're less than a week away from the start of free agency, but boy, has it died down to a trickle, if that. And there are much more interesting issues out there, especially in baseball. I'll talk some March Madness, some things that interest me about the tournament off the court. A lot off the court to talk about. And we will talk about some of the dust settling in NFL transactions, signings, trades, especially at the quarterback position. I want to talk about that. We'll get to all this. But first, let's spend some time on what's going on with the best player in the sport of Major League Baseball. His name, Shohei Ohtani. This story broke last night. I'm coming to you Thursday evening, March 21st, right after I taught my class last night and we talked about baseball in a general sense. This happened and I've got to talk about it. I want to explain it to everyone listening to really understand what's going on based on ESPN reporting and based on what we're hearing. And I talked to someone in baseball today, who is as confused as you are. Okay. On a few nights ago, an interview is done with ESPN by the translator. Let's call him Ippe, is his first name. The translator, Mitsuhara, I believe it's Ippe Mitsuhara. The translator for Shohei Ohtani, who's very close with them, they're best friends, I thought. And he's always around him in any scene you see with a Shohei Ohtani. And ironically, a couple days ago in video from Korea, where the Dodgers are starting the season against the Padres in this Korea series, they're joking in the dugout before the game. Shohei Ohtani and Ippe Mitsuhara is translator. Okay, the translator gives an interview to ESPN. Why? We don't know. We may find out later. But somehow, maybe trying to get ahead of something, tells ESPN the following. He, Ippe, had millions of dollars of gambling debts owed to a bookie in Southern California in Orange County, who, oh, by the way, is under investigation from the feds and has already had other bookies turn on him. Okay, let's just stop there. So this translator Ippe has amassed massive gambling debts to a bookie in Orange County who's under investigation. He gets in front of this by telling ESPN, this is not Shohei. Now, you may see somehow that the wirings come from an account of Shohei Ohtani. And maybe this is why he did the interview. But I'm here to tell you, he says to ESPN, those were for me, his friend. They were not part of Shohei Ohtani betting on anything. And by the way, the translator said, the betting was on non-baseball, international soccer matches, other sports. Okay. Why he tells ESPN this? We don't know, but he does. So now we're at a point where this translator, this interpreter, paid by the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani's right-hand guy, has told ESPN he amassed $4.5 million of gambling debts paid off by Ohtani, but don't think it's Ohtani. It's just taken him out. As the question of why didn't Ohtani just give the money to his friend to pay off the debts? Well, the report is that Ohtani felt like, I'm not giving you the money because you'll blow it on gambling. I'll just pay the guy directly. All right, that's the story. And that's the story. They were sticking to it. Hours later, before ESPN is going to go live with the story, they hear from attorneys for Shohei Ohtani, saying Shohei Ohtani is the victim of a, quote, massive theft, end quote. We assume that theft to be from the translator, his best closest buddy, who he had, we're told, wired $4.5 million to get him out of debt to the illegal bookie. Now ESPN reaches back out to Mitsuhara, who recants the whole thing, who says, no, I was wrong. He didn't wire it for me, you know, nothing. I'm not talking. All right. There were, there are, and there will be lawyers. What is going on here? Okay, two tracks to determine what's going on. One is the feds, which I know less about. The federal investigation into this bookmaker in Southern California will continue, and it will, unearth what's going on with these wire transfers from Ohtani. If they even happen, there's a recanting by the translator. We don't know where that's going to go, but it will go. The FBI is not going to turn away from this now, just because it's Shohei Ohtani. The bigger issue is baseball. Now, baseball probably hopes this goes away. Hey, look at March Madness the next 3 weeks. Look at all the fun stuff going on in sports. Let's not worry about the LA Dodgers. The season hasn't even started yet. Shohei Ohtani, let him work himself into the rut. Well, if baseball does that, good luck with that. That's not going to happen. They can't. They may try. They're not going to sweep this under the rug. So they're going to have to do an investigation. What kind of investigation? Well, you know how sports leagues do investigations. I've reported and talked about it for 10 years. They do, like the NFL did with Deflategate, a report by a law firm, the Wells Report. Remember the Mueller Report, who became Secretary of State, Robert Mueller, right? He did the Ray Rice Report. There was a report about hazing with the Miami Dolphins done by a law firm. There was a report about sexual harassment at the Carolina Panthers done by a law firm. This is what happens with the Dallas Mavericks done by a law firm. This is what happens, and this is what I would expect would happen with Ohtani. They're going to outsource a report. It's paid for by them, so they certainly don't want to come up with things that implicate them. But you would hope there'd be internal investigations by the Dodgers and by baseball about what really happened here. This brings up all kinds of antenna, right? And you try not to go out on conspiracy theories, but what about Shohei Ohtani marrying this Japanese starlet in kind of a surprise announcement wedding? And then my antenna go to, what about the contract? Now, this was the most unique contract in sports history. I've never seen a contract like this. I don't know if we will again. For the next 10 years, Shohei Ohtani, the best player in baseball, makes $2 million a year. For the 10 years after that, Shohei Ohtani makes $68 million a year, going through 2043 when he'll be 49 years old. So why did they structure it that way? Well, we thought CAA, they wanted to get the splash, $700 million. Didn't find out till later that it's structured like that, so it's really $460 million. The huge deferrals make it seem like it's a different contract, and the $700 million is out there forever. All the media that I've done today, they lead with the highest paid player in history at $700 million, so they got it out there. But it's not $700 million. But why was it structured this way? I asked who wanted it this way, Ohtani's side or the Dodgers' side? Well, teams love deferrals. I guess the Dodgers, yeah, we'll do it that way. And it's really a $460 million contract, but they just do it that way. Ohtani to avoid the taxes in 10 years. But maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's another reason now with everything up in the air. Everything has to be on the table when you hear a story like this. Listen, people, do I think Ohtani's doing the gambling? I don't know. But I think there is so much denying that Ohtani's part of this and now being a victim, I guess, of being ripped off by his best friend? I mean, what is going on here? All I can say is gambling, the taboo forever. When I teach sports law, the first thing we talk about is the Black Sox throwing the World Series in 1919. We're 105 years removed from that, and we're in a much different situation from gambling. But Pete Rose, 1989, banned from baseball. Never admitted betting on baseball, but banned from baseball. You know all the things going on in other sports. The Tim Donaghy, sent to jail, kicked out of the NBA immediately. Kind of a rogue. They called him a rogue referee. And that's what happened here. The Dodgers fired its Mitsuhari immediately. Guy making $300,000 to $500,000. He said he was going to translate for the other new signing of the Dodgers, Yoshibi Yamamoto. That's out. So what an incredible story this is. This is not a good look for the face of baseball. This is one of, if not the face of baseball. So you know what's going on in the offices of Rob Manfred and the offices of Major League Baseball and the offices of Guggenheim Partners, which owns the Dodgers, and the offices of the Dodgers. Of course, Dave Roberts asked about it. He's not talking. No one's talking. This is a bad look at the start of the season. And yes, maybe people will turn away now that baseball hasn't even started, and maybe the excitement of the new season for other teams, but you cannot sweep this under the rug. You cannot. I mean, sports is all about some kind of public trust. You can't have public trust with this if you just let it go away. And again, the feds are not letting it go away. So the FBI is not going to sweep this under the rug because it's Shohei Ohtani. So baseball can't either. What the heck went on? Find a new translator and figure it out. And this guy's fired. He's losing $500,000 and being around his best friends. And maybe he's got something to say. Maybe he goes to another network, maybe ESPN. I mean, he's going to talk. And if he's not going to talk, maybe he's paid off. Or maybe he's got to talk to the feds. Like, this Mitsuhara knows a lot. And what, and whether he was telling the truth about Ohtani paying off his gambling debts or not, and he recanted, he's lying one way or the other. So somebody is being an incredible wingman here. Either Mitsuhara, who took the fall guy, as everyone says, or Ohtani, who seems to be untouchable at this point, but we'll see. I am not accusing him of being a gambler here. But listen, here's Major League Baseball discipline schedule. It is not, I repeat, not against the rule to wager on sports beyond baseball. Okay, let's get that out. Let's make this clear. It is not against baseball rules for players to bet on sports beyond baseball. But here's the key. Legally bet on sports beyond baseball. Legally. And if Ohtani was in one of the 38 states that had legalized sports betting, that's fine. But he is not. He's in California. They do not have legalized sports betting. So any betting in California is illegal. And we know his betting was illegal, if it was his betting, because it's an illegal sports bookie who's under investigation. So, discipline from Major League Baseball, the fact he bet on sports other than baseball, allegedly. If he did, that's still a major problem because the word legal is attached to that. This would be illegal. The second part is whether you bet on sports beyond baseball or not, if you do so with an illegal bookie, you're in trouble. So if it is proven through an investigation that, as I say, has to happen, that he bet on sports beyond baseball, of course they could also find he bet on baseball, there's going to be some major discipline. What's the discipline? Well, that's at the discretion of the commissioner. We know what the last commissioner did when this was a story like this with Pete Rose, also one of the biggest names in baseball. He was banned from baseball. And here we are, what are we, 35 years later? 35 years later? He's still out. He's still out. He has appealed to not one, not two, not three, not four, five commissioners. He's still out. One of those commissioners, Rob Manfred, is now going to have to deal with Shohei Ohtani. Good luck with that. We'll be checking back on this. A couple things here. Number one, this is the beginning, not the end of this story. Number two, there have been, there are, and there will be lawyers. And the more I hear about people shouting that Shohei Ohtani was not involved in this and that he's a victim of theft, the more I wonder what is going on here. There's something not good about Ohtani and gambling. I'm not saying he put down $4.5 million of bets. I'm wondering where the translator gets this money, how they build up such a debt, and if the money's coming from Ohtani, why? What is going on? Okay, I had to talk through that. Oh my God. I just had to talk through that. All right, you can hit me up with more questions on that if you want. I think it's a fascinating topic. It'll be in my Sunday 7 newsletter. If you're not getting that, definitely get that this week. And again, play this over and over again. Try to figure out what's going on here. All right, let's move to March Madness. I'm not going to talk about the games. You got plenty of people talking about that, picking the brackets, whatever. I think it's a great phenomenon. It gets us all back. With all the noise about NIL, all the lawsuits, now we have Clemson suing the ACC. We have, you just keep the scoreboard on the lawsuits. We have NIL suits about present NIL, NIL suits about past NIL. We have employee suits from Dartmouth, from USC, from the Third Circuit. We have cases about pay for play. We have multi-time transfers allowed to play no matter what. Let's get to that point, because what I am fascinated by is the transfer portal. The transfer portal is obviously one of the big differences between pro and college sports. In pro sports, you can be a free agent, but in the NFL, you need 4 years. In Major League Baseball, you need 6 years. In the NBA, you need 4 years. Third year is a restricted year. Wow. You know, college sports, you don't need any years. You need one. Every year is a one-year deal. Because of court cases now allow multi-time transfers to play right immediately, everyone's transferring. So the timing, too, is crazy. Sunday was selection show Sunday, right? Selection Sunday to get in the tournament, who's playing who where. Monday was the start of the transfer portal. Think about that. Sunday was selection show. Monday was the start of the portal. That would be like free agency in the NFL starting the day after the regular season in January, before the playoffs. That would be like NBA free agency starting the day after the season in April before 2 months of playoffs. How do we have these dates? Now, the NCAA did reduce the college basketball transfer portal from 60 to 45 days, but it started on Monday. And I haven't seen the updated numbers, but as of Tuesday, 24 hours after it opened, there were 450 players on the men's side in the transfer portal, 450, and 295 women. Listen, you're going to hear about the big names going to big schools. Yeah, there's probably going to be a handful of those, or 20 of those, or 50 of those, or 100 of those. But there are going to be so many that go to a program where they find out they're buried on the bench, they're not no better than they were, or they die in the portal. They just die in the portal. They don't find a new home. They're not welcome back. Feel for them. This is free agency, and guess what? There's no salary cap. These college athletes are in better shape than pros, if they're good. But that's true in the pros, too. If they're no good, no one signs them. It's the same thing. But if they're good, they're going to have opportunities. And we hear about players going and getting 20 schools interested in them once in the portal. And then you have what every person wants in life in terms of financial options is bidding. Because now the rules are off. The court case in Tennessee basically said you can't have any rules on NIL, which means it's pay for play. It's pay for play right now. So when a kid goes into a portal, he finds out where everybody goes in for two reasons. Opportunity, of course, but money. Because money's going to sell opportunity. What are you going to give me? So a kid goes into portal. He hears from a school, he's going to ask, what's the number? The coach has to go back to the donors, or the collective's talking to him directly and say, oh, it's 50,000 per year. And then he goes back to his school, I got 50,000, or he goes to the next school, or he goes to the next school. This is what NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball free agency is. But there's a cap. This is amazing. This is the portal. This is where we are. the combination of NIL is out the window. I mean, let's just not even call it NIL anymore, right? It's pay for play. We may get to a point, what I just said, we don't even talk about NIL. NIL is code for pay, for salary. What's your salary? Listen, I don't know the answer in college sports. It's not good. I worry about non-revenue sports. I've said this before. There's not a bottomless pit. To fund top college basketball and to fund top college football, the money's got to come from somewhere. And there's going to be donor fatigue. Donors given to school, donors given to the athletic fund, donors given to sports. Where are they going to stop? What's the most sexy form is probably the athletes. This is scary. Other note from March Madness is Caitlin Clark. You know, we've had this debate. Would she have been better off staying at Iowa or going to the pros? And I have pushed back on anyone saying better off staying at Iowa. I'm talking about financially. Emotionally, that's all up to her. But financially, she brings along those endorsements. And again, we don't need to call it NIL. Let's call them endorsements. They go to the pros. You think these companies are going to say, yeah, we don't want Caitlin Clark anymore if she's pro? Come on. She signed new deals already with Gainbridge, with other deals. She'll make whatever she wants to make through endorsements in the pros, plus a salary. Now, salary's not great in the WNBA. They only play 3 months. People make their money overseas. But I think her decision is emotional. She wants to play against the best. Now, will she make college basketball less popular? Yes. She's the force multiplier in college basketball right now. She's the biggest thing, men or women. Can she bring that to the WNBA Indiana Fever with the top pick? Probably. She'll have a traveling roadshow. Why not? In Indiana, if she could do it in Iowa, why not? Okay. I'm a fan like everyone else. As far as my personal teams, my son is at UT Arlington, University of Texas Arlington, across the street from Jerry World. He is director of video and analytics there, and they had a great season. They lost in the WAC final in Vegas. I was there last weekend. Grand Canyon won. They're in the NCAA. They play, I think, tonight or tomorrow against St. Mary's. But great season there, but they didn't make it. But Villanova, where I am right now, that didn't make it either, and they lost in the NIT last year after some new transfers. We'll see what happens there. Okay. An NFL note to last part of this. I want to talk about the quarterbacks because over the last week or so, we have seen such quarterback movement, and I want to just phrase it as everyone gets their hopes up for this quarterback crop in 2024, God, you got to look at what just happened in the last 3 years and you got to temper your enthusiasm. As Larry David says, curb your enthusiasm. You got to temper. Look at what's gone on. Let's go down the list. You know who is the quarterback of the future for the Steelers? Kenny Pickett, drafted 2 years ago, number one. Gone. They bring in aging Russell Wilson. And he wants out, and he's out. So Kenny Pickett is now a backup to Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's a great career decision for him if that's where he really wanted. He could have been backing up an aging, declining Russell Wilson on a one-year contract. Now he's backing up a young superstar, Jalen Hurts, who just got $255 million. What are you doing, Kenny Pickett? But evidently he had some enmity with the Steelers over Russell Wilson, so he's out. So that was their quarterback of the future, Steelers. No. Let's move to Washington. Sam Howell looked pretty good last year. He was the quarterback of the future. Nope, he's out. Shipped off to Seattle. Gone. They'll draft somebody. Start over. Okay. Atlanta Falcons. Desmond Ridder drafted second round. Quarterback of the future. Nope, gone. Shipped off to Arizona to back up Kyler Murray. They go all in on Kirk Cousins, our Business of Football Hall of Famer. And so much for Ridder. Let's move to Chicago. They spend the 11th pick in the 2021 draft. They spend 3 years developing him. He is the face of the franchise. Gone. For peanuts. A 2025 sixth-round pick that could go to a fourth with playtime. That's like a 2024 seventh that could go to a fifth. It's gone. stay with that draft. Mac Jones, 15th pick, New England Patriots. Face of the future, quarterback of the future, gone. Sent off for nothing. Six-round pick. Jacksonville backing up Trevor Lawrence, if he even does that. Gone. Now, Zach Wilson, second pick overall. New York Jets, they're desperate to unload him. He'll never be there again. He's gone. If he somehow stays on the roster, he'll never play. Okay? He's a disaster. I'm sure he's a nice guy. Disaster at quarterback. They spent all year last year trying to replace him with Aaron Rodgers. Didn't work because he got hurt. Okay, so look at what's going on. I just named six. Six faces of the future, quarterbacks of the future, for one-fifth of the league. Starting over. Okay, they're just starting over. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Washington, Atlanta, New England. Gone. They're gone. So here's why I say that. Because in the next month, we're going to get so excited about Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, whoever else. They're going to represent that hope, that excitement for the franchise. But listen, this is what happens. You're maybe batting 50%. Maybe two or three are players. Look at last year. Bryce Young, geez, we don't know. Got to give him another year, but we don't know. Stroud looks good. Richardson got hurt. We'll see. We will see. But, you know, just curb your enthusiasm. And I know that's going to be the talk. Everyone loves talking about the quarterbacks in the draft. They're all getting pushed up in the draft. But no. You cannot count on them. Even Trevor Lawrence, the only one surviving out of that draft. Yeah. Pro Bowler, I'm not so sure. Pretty good. Shows in flashes, but I don't know. And look at what these teams got for him. Nothing. I think Sam Howell from the Washington to Seattle, they probably got the most there, like maybe a fourth. Ridder, nothing. Jones, nothing. Sick. Fields, nothing. Pickett, nothing. Nothing. Like, these were first-round picks, some of these guys. Ridder was second-round pick. What? Howell was the only one, like, lower. But, Jesus, it's just awful. In Seattle, Drew Locke, he was once the face of the future. For Denver and Seattle, gone. New York, back him up. So I don't know what to say other than, listen, let's take a grain of salt. Let's take a deep breath. Let's hold the phone on anointing these young quarterbacks because most of the time people are missing. Look at these mistakes, and it sets you back. It sets you back. The fact Desmond Ridder didn't work out. Just got Kirk Cousins $150 million. That's what they spent because that didn't work out. They spent 3 years on Justin Fields. 3 years. Now they start over. I spent hoping 3 years with Mac Jones. Now they start over. Okay. And I'm probably missing some too. I mean, look at Zach Wilson. Look, they spent $75 million on Aaron Rodgers. Try to get that going because he was a flunk. All right, I just want to leave you there. We'll be talking a lot about the quarterbacks before the draft. I'm not your guy for who's better, who's going to be drafted higher. That's all. There's thousands of people talking about that. I'll try to give you that insight, information about the business side of things. All right, that was fun. Ohtani, March Madness, and NFL quarterbacks, buyer beware. Newsletter, go to andrew-brandt.com. I'm doing these reels. Instagram is always Andrew Brandt too. You can reach out to me, andrew at andrew-brandt.com. You want to support the podcast, andrew-brandt-20 is my Venmo. Appreciate all you guys do and listen. Give us a rating. Give us a comments. I really appreciate seeing all those and share it with a friend. I hope it's the most unique podcast in this space. And I know we're flooded with podcasts in the sports space. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy March Madness. I'll be back with more as this Ohtani situation unfolds. I'll be back with more on sort of the remnants of NFL free agency and who did well, who didn't do well. That will be next week. We'll see you next week. Thanks to Jack Connell. Thanks to musical producer Sam Brand. Thanks to you, as always, for supporting the podcast and listening. I'll be back next week with another edition of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brand.